trying to stop terrorism, but we still got terrorists here living in the USA, the big CIA, the Bloods and the Crips and the KKK. But if you only have love for your own race, then you only leave space to discriminate, and to discriminate only generates hate, and when you hate, then you're bound to get irate. Yeah, madness is what you demonstrate, and that's exactly how anger works and operates. Man, you gotta have love just to set it straight. Take control of your mind and meditate. Let your soul gravitate to the love, y'all,
people
y'all.
People killing, people dying, children hurt and you hear them crying. Can you practice what you preach, and would you turn the other cheek? Father, 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 help us, send some guidance from above. These people got me questioning.
Change. New days are strange. Is the world insane? If love and peace is so strong, why are the pieces of love that don't belong? Nations dropping bombs, chemical gases filling lungs of little ones with ongoing suffering as the youth are young. So ask yourself, is the loving really gone? So I could ask myself, really what is going wrong in this world that we living in? People keep on giving in, making wrong decisions, only visions of the dividends. Not respecting each other, denying thy brother. A war's going on, but the reason's undercover. The truth is kept secret, it's swept under the rug. If you never know truth, then you never know love. What's the love, y'all? Come on. Where's the truth, y'all? Come on,
I don't know.
Where's the love, y'all?
People killing, people dying, children hurt and you hear them crying. When you practice what you preach, would you turn the other cheek? Father, 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 help us, send some guidance from above. These people got me questioning. Where is the love?
Where is the love? Where is the love? Where is the
the world on my shoulder. As I'm getting older, y'all, people get colder. Most of us only care about money making. Selfishness got us following the wrong direction. Wrong information always shown by the media. Negative images is the main criteria. Infecting the young minds faster than bacteria. Kids wanna act like what they see in the cinema. Yeah. Whatever happened to the values of humanity? Whatever happened to the fairness and equality? Instead of spreading love, we're spreading animosity. Lack of understanding leading us away from unity. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling under. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling down. It's no wonder why sometimes I'm feeling under. Gotta keep my faith alive till love is found. Now ask yourself,
where is the love? Where is the love? One world, one world.
We only got
one world, one world.
That's all we got.
One world, one world.
Something's wrong with it. Something's wrong with it. Something's wrong with the good world, world. Yeah. We only got
one world, one world.
That's all we got.
One world.
This has been the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.
Good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Hey, a lovely day here, and the Black Eyed Peas there. If you want to know that song, I know you want to run out there and get it, because at this low level in life, the way things are going, you might want to pick you up. So thanks for joining in and listening to the Carol Cox Show. You can pick us up at KWAI1080AM.com live streaming, or you can go to carolcox.com and pick us up there. And you can listen to podcasts and in the late evening when you're laying there listening to the guys giving financial and talking about spaceships and people talking to you from the grave and what have you, you can go and download carolcox.com or just tap into the podcast, and we won't lead you astray. You can wake up and have a better day. So we're going to be talking about buses, and I'm sure trains will come into play, and a little bit of planes as well, but this is the first hour we're going to talk, and talk about the conditions of the buses, and Casey Connors from out in Punaluu, Saikalu, is quite active in raising these issues, and hopefully those of you that are being impacted negatively by the bus schedules or the bus service or what have you, feel free to give us a call, 524-1080. But I must warn you, be patient now. I don't see the red light and like Pavlov's dog and hop up and start salivating. I try to let everybody finish their comments, and we'll get to the next person. Caller, good morning. Thank you for calling. You want to talk about buses?
Aloha, Carol. This is KC.
Yes, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Thank you so much for caring about our bus system. I think as we've talked, a lot of people don't realize how poor the bus system has become up on Windward in the North Shore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have billions for the rail, but right now, like Saturdays and Sundays, our bus comes every hour. It's mm-hmm. It's on time. Like yesterday, I tried to catch it and was over a half hour late. So, I mean, there's billions for the rail, but our bus system, this affects, as you know, our disabled, our students, our elderly, our working family. And right now, people can't get to a job,
mm-hmm.
And they're losing jobs because they can't get there on time. And we're told we have no money.
Mm-hmm.
We're waiting out in the rain and the sun. You have the elderly out there. We have kids hitchhiking. And, again, there's billions and billions to the rail.
Right.
So we're not sure what's going on. Our city councilman, once again, put the money in to restore the bus all the way up to the Haleiwa, to the North Shore, our Windward Country bus, and it hasn't been implemented yet. And this time, it's the first time that Mayor Caldwell hasn't vetoed it, and we're told maybe by the end of the year we'll get the bus back every half hour.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, other people in Kaneohe, there's terrible traffic now. You know, before when the bus was half hour, I would see people in business clothes going to work on the bus. Now, forget it. You got to take a car if it comes every hour, 45 minutes.
Right.
And on the weekends, it's jammed up in Haleiwa. No one's going to bother to take the bus.
Mm-hmm.
It's scheduled for every hour, but maybe it comes every hour and a half of traffic. So if you want to go North Shore, everyone's taking their car. If you want to, you know, drop your kids off somewhere, you have to take the car. You can't have them waiting out. So
and that's for those people that can afford a car, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. And
yeah.
So what, there's a large percentage of the population out there and on the west side as well that, and anywhere, we should encourage less driving of cars and reducing traffic from cars, but having mass transit. But if the failure to fund it or funding it and failure to implement it on the part of the mayor, I don't know where the sticking point is, but you say that Ernie Martin, well, not just him, other council people also voted to get money in, allocated it and approved it. But the mayor will not.
It hasn't been released yet, we're told. And then maybe it will be implemented. We're told it's going to be implemented after the election. So we're waiting on that for just that one bus. But, and we think, yeah, it would eliminate traffic and get people to work. We have no night buses. People don't realize that. Or evening buses. So people who want to work a second job, they, you know, you can't. You're stuck.
Or if you were working a second job, I mean, let's say you just needed transportation to get from point A to point B. If there's no consistency or predictability in the scheduling, then you could get a job today and lose it tomorrow because you can't show up on time.
That's right. And people, I've seen people crying because at the bus stop, because they're going to lose their job three times late for fast food and you're out. Or people lose their job because there's no Sunday morning bus and they can't get up to Turtle Bay. That's our workers at Local 5, even. So that's, you know, again and again, we believe it'd be great economic growth and stimulus if the bus came every half hour. Over half of our tourists come up to the North Shore. So if they, if we can have it both tourists and locals, we don't want, those tourists driving up Kamehameha Highway to the North Shore 20 miles an hour taking pictures. It's a dangerous drive, especially for our Japanese, Australian tourists who drive on that wrong side of the road. Before, when the bus was every half hour, the hotels at Waikiki, they would promote the Circle Island bus or the bus up to the country and the cruise line. Now, forget it, you know? It's, you know, if it comes every 45 minutes an hour, that's too long for tourists to wait.
So,
but every half hour, they would get off at the country store. They would get off at the shrimp shack, get back off. They would get off at the art gallery. It would stimulate those local businesses, those little businesses that make Hawaii special. And we can even come, you know, auntie, uncle would meet their relatives at Windward Mall for, or Kaneohe for lunch. We think that's great for our elderly. Right now, it's too hard for our elderly.
Well, the councilman and the mayor and everybody involved is somewhat disingenuous because they advocate expanding and building and creating businesses along those routes. But then they say that it's going to give jobs and generate a growth in the economy and jobs. But then the primary transportation for the citizens who would be relying on getting those jobs, if they do exist, can't get to the jobs. So why is this repeating itself over and over? I mean, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, we've been talking about buses, and then they modified it substantially or drastically when they started this thing called the rail. So what's it going to take to fix it?
I don't know, and I hope that our friends from Windward Community College, are both of our students and our staff and faculty, are awake because, I mean, obviously we have huge backups. The bus and bus connection to Windward Community College is absolutely terrible. They've written about it in their student newspaper where students, they get downgraded because they miss half the class because the bus is late. The connection is not safe and is terrible. Or many of our students and adult students, they have to both work and go to college, but with the bus so poor, they can't do both. And so we're having, like you have at UH Manoa, you're having traffic jams, and now if you want to go to Windward, you virtually have to have a car. And it's sad because Windward has worked hard to get all these scholarships to get people back to work, but if you can't afford a car in the first place, I don't understand that.
What is keeping the mayor from in just taking and acting on this? And the money is, if the money has been approved, what are the excuses?
We were told in our neighborhood board in Haula the other night that it's, the funds haven't been released yet, and I don't quite understand that. And that it would be in before the end of the year, not after the election.
Now, I want to make sure when we say weren't not released, release it. Well, let me finish the question. Let me finish the question. Release that Arnie Martin promised to get it and then have it actually been approved by the council. And is there some action that he needs to take to release it or approve it? Or is it just simply they've approved it and now the mayor has to sign off on it?
It's my, I let someone else come in. I believe that in previous years, Ernie Martin has earmarked the money and the mayor has vetoed it. This is an election year. The mayor didn't veto it. So now we thought, oh my goodness, we fought back and forth with the Kaneohe Neighborhood Board, the Kahulu Neighborhood Board, the Kolaloa Neighborhood Board, the North Shore Neighborhood Board. We all asked for this bus to be returned. We thought we got it. Windward thought Community College some people, we thought we had the money in for this fall, for students to go back to school this fall, to easily get there, and we don't.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know what's happening.
As much as I'd like to see the mirror tarred and feathered, I'm reluctant to really just go out and put my hands around his neck and say, wake up, the shaken baby syndrome, because if it's critical, it's this bad, then the council members should be screaming. Because it is a vital part, essential to that community or to any of these districts. And I just, saying that I got the money and I approved it, and then now the mayor is not holding, not releasing it or doing whatever, then damn it, you should be out there with every citizen that is being impacted and standing down on the mayor's desk and hammering away. Don't just say, I got the money, and then walk away. Well, it's up to the mayor. You know, these are vital concerns, right?
I think so. For our most vulnerable, for our students, working class, disabled, you know, working families, elderly, you know, we don't want our elderly isolated. We want them out there participating in the community, able to get around, not driving if they don't want to. You know, having that option to ride the bus. So I know that the Kahuku elderly, it's a large community of elderly homes. They wrote beautiful letters, so I don't know if they'll call in today or not.
Well, you know, we gave the airtime, committed it, so it's up to them. This suggests that if they don't call, it's their fault. It's just that this has repeated itself, and you've been quite active in trying to put this together, and I get the sensation that people want to be still polite and then bitch about things and be polite and then get impacted and be polite, and it's like, at some point you can stretch a rubber band so much and snap, right? And the snapping is, no jobs. Hold on one second here. Caller, thank you for calling. Comment or question?
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is such an important subject to bring up about the bus. I appreciate the woman that's bringing the information. But I've been riding the bus for 6 years, and it can work. They've been trying to do alternative things, but our main thing is we got a traffic problem, and the buses really can't be on schedule all the time. So even though you have a bus, you have to have a bus every 20 minutes to make up for, you know, mistakes in scheduling or whatever, because I've been on the bus where it misses a whole cycle. You know what I mean? And if you're going to a job, you're fired after a while if you don't get there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the reliability of the bus is so important. It has to be there when they say it's going to be there. And if it isn't, how can you depend on that for anything?
Well, you know, here's my concern.
Yeah, I'm talking to the lady.
I understand.
She's an expert at this.
Okay, I understand, but we all are experts. We can use the bus and we think. You see, we're not just looking at and being critical of just a common person. We're looking at a system, an institution that has in place supposedly a traffic czar, a person such in the shape of Formby, or in the shirt, you know, that the mayor has for his transportation executive, right? Your city manager. Managing director. And so let's not go too far to the left or to the right and refuse to talk about that. Things are in place on a highway. Given any section of highway, it only has a certain carrying capacity. So you start to detract when you have the braking, the poor driving conditions, or the poor driver attitude, braking and slowing down, failing to signal, and the design of the traffic. But here we're talking about you can reduce the cars if you were to put more buses on and have them reliable.
20 minutes.
Well, whatever it may be, but again, I want to make sure that the listeners out there understand this isn't being critical of just Jimmy the bus driver. This is about an institution that has failed, and each week, each day, each minute, it fails. You understand? And it leaves everybody else to grovel over what is going on. And poor Casey, when I met her, she had black hair.
That's great. She was at the bus stop. I've been seeing them for years, and, you know, I don't know how they can take it.
But it is so true. But there are multiple issues. One of the issues is that this community, Kaneohe up north, has so much aloha that they don't complain well, and they don't know how to complain and who to complain to. And another issue is some of the car drivers think that the bus company is so highly rated that it's still coming every half hour. They mm-hmm. don't realize that a lot of the new traffic is because the bus is so poor that people have given up. And they don't realize, I mean, the Kaneohe Neighborhood Board, none of those people rode the bus, but they are getting more and more involved. They were surprised to hear from the students, to hear from other people how terrible their bus is. But they were thinking of expanding Kahakili, and instead of spending all the money to expand Kahakili Highway, maybe if they just had better buses to Windward and through the town of Kaneohe, that would alleviate a lot of the traffic congestion, especially that Kaneohe's population is getting older. Maybe some of those people don't want to drive. They'd like to take the bus. So there is a lot of new planning and this transportation. We have this transportation-oriented development. Well, we have transportation that's on our side that's gotten so poor that it's killing our economic development and killing jobs and killing, especially for our younger people and our people just starting out, and that you have to have a car or you can't get around this area. And that's not the way it should be. And again, some of our tourists, we would prefer to have them on the bus the way they drive.
Mm-hmm.
We think it would be better for everyone. And it would stimulate the economy also.
Yeah. Well, you have, start off with, you have a two-lane highway, right, basically?
In most parts, yes.
Yeah, I mean, well, we can...
From Kahulu, from Hygienic Store,
yeah.
All the way up, yeah.
Well, you know, you could have 18 lanes from Kaneohe to Kahulu, and they're all going to then convene or converge, merge together into one two-lane highway. So that design in itself is a problem. And I just think that I remember hearing people say, those people out, you know, in Kahulu and those areas saying, oh, those folks there in the town is going to have to spend a lot of money, and that rail, they're only ones going to benefit from it and what have you. And then I try to inject in the conversation and share with them that, you're not just going to be taxed financially, support something that you won't benefit, but you're going to suffer from the taxing and the distraction of monies because of the fixing of the roads, the potholes, which will cause cars to drive slower, or when they do repair, you're going to have a lot of repair work going on, and then contraflow or one-way. You understand?
Yes.
So
yes.
My advice to the people in Kahulu, you better start getting mad and get angry and start doing something rather than waving it off and say, well, we're not really going to be impacted. You are being impacted, and the mayor's musical chairs with the transportation czar, with Formby and everyone, it presents a problem. It shows you where his priorities are, and it shows you where the city council's priority. It's the equivalent of giving a child, the council give money. It's like mom and dad says, just hand the kid some money. Okay, go to the mall and babysit yourself and take care of you. Well, we gave him money. He's happy. Well, yeah, you gave him money, but then you didn't oversee to make sure that things are done right and implemented and guided. And these people are suffering. I mean, I talked to two students that say they can't take certain classes. Because
the bus is so terrible.
And, you know, someone say, well, they should get another ride. Well, you try getting a regular scheduled class and then get out there and hitchhike. And we don't want to see young folks out hitchhiking. Hold on one second. Caller, thank you for calling. Comment or question?
Thank you very much for entertaining this issue. Solution is, as you just said, agitation and control. Critical thinking, yes, before the council had many, many, many testifiers and very experiential, emotional, but little consequence. It goes way back to Machiavelli. You take it all away. Take the bus all the way. Give them back a little, and they will praise you, and you will be prince. Make sure they fear you, not necessarily love you. And a specious argument, only train will save the people's angst and frustration. Demonize those who oppose the train. And it is a gestalt. It's not the size of the slice of a pie. It's the slice of the entire. It's the entire pie. The train affects every single service, every single person. Everything is donated, committed to the train. So no matter what you talk about, parks and recreation, transportation, makes no difference, because they've got to find the money to make the train go through. And whose money is it? Not theirs. And it's the federal money, the get tax, the real property tax is next, if they are serious. Thank you so much,
all right,
Mr. Cox.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right, bye. Casey?
No, thank you so much. Yes, we are concerned that this side will, all of a sudden, the North Shore and Windward is getting into more and more traffic and more gridlock. We don't want to be in a situation like the South Side is, and we need to act now. And it is up and down, you know, from the ordinary citizen all the way up to our government, our planners. We now have a blue zone in here from National Geographic and Kolaupoko looking at Kaneohe. They're looking at traffic circles, but we need more than that. The bus system would work, especially with an aging population. We would, but to get, if the state seems to have money to look at expanding things like Kahakili or Turtle Beach up on the North Shore where the tourists block that off. If there's so much traffic up in Sunset and Haleiwa where tourists get off the ride to look at the turtles, wouldn't it be better if they got on and off the bus every half hour instead of block the traffic, trying to park, everything like that? So the state and the city also need to work together on these traffic issues, and right now they're not. And we would love to see the Hawaii Tourist Authority work with our bus system. Now, the Hawaii Tourist Authority is state, and our bus system is city and county. Because this would be a great if the tourists rode the city bus instead of trying to drive, getting in trouble, driving 20 miles an hour on a difficult road. And it's also saying we think they'll have a much better visitor experience if they get off at our shrimp shacks, our country stores, our fruit stands, our crafters, the little booths up and down the highway. We think they'll have a wonderful experience if they're able to do that and get back on the bus every half hour. We think this is a win-win for both the local community and for our tourist industry, but it will require the city and county and the state working together.
Okay, hold on. Caller, thank you for calling. You have a comment or question?
Yeah, this speaker just kind of stole my thunder a little bit. You know, but you have to look at what's causing the whole thing. It is the growth caused by the developers and, even more so, maybe equally, the tourist industry. I mean, you know, they want more and more tourists to come over because they pocket the profit from selling them stuff in their hotels. And so that's what's crowding the highways is the rental cars. So I think the state has to work on that, limiting them and so on. As long as we want more growth, and they say causes creates jobs and stuff, well, so if it's killing the island, is it worth it to create jobs? That isn't a holy word, even though they make it sound like it is.
Mm-hmm.
So they got to stop growth, period, for development and tourism. As far as the development goes, I mean, everybody knows they're recruiting people to come over and buy their condominiums. They're not selling them to the local people. And so the more people, the more cars. And as far as the buses being late, as long as we keep this up, they are going to be late. They're on the same road that the cars are on. So on the one hand, you know, you can say, well, the traffic goes so slow, but then worry about your bus being late. Of course it's going to be late, because there's too many tourist cars and growth cars on the road that the buses can't just fly on top of the cars and get on time. The drivers say that that's what drives them crazy, is meeting mm-hmm. their schedules.
Mm-hmm.
It just drives them crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, if we keep saying we keep agreeing with more growth, including tourism, we're going to get worse and worse and worse. So that's my say.
Well, thank you.
Okay, bye.
Casey?
Oh, no, thank you. I want to thank the caller. And yes, I do believe there is a trouble with this old-fashioned kind of economic growth, where the only way you can make money is bring in more and more and more tourists. And that's more and more bright vehicles on the road. As you know, Carol, I've been pushing things like the film and TV industry. And that is economic growth that fits the gifts and talents of our community. You don't have to work two jobs. You don't have to build another hotel on the beach. Our music, our dance, our storytelling, and our scenery is world class.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Toronto and Ontario have almost over $1 billion industry, film and TV, and they can only film 3 months a year. We could have that here. We could have those higher income jobs. We don't have to have economic growth where you are required to bring in more and more and more and more tourists and more and more and more cars, and we get the low-income service jobs. There are alternatives, and there are alternatives that people can work in their area. You know, if the mom-and-pop shop country store is open, we love Ted's Bakery, some of us. You know, we love the little shops and country stores all up and down. You know, our country store in... Kunalu Ching's is having a rivalry with the Boo-Boo Superette, who makes the best poke.
Yeah.
We'd love to keep those country stores open and those local craft and food open and people enjoy.
Okay. Hold on. Caller, thank you for calling. Comment or question?
Thank you for taking me for the second time. I'm not going to talk about the handyman and the current problem. Just one question, Casey. If you had an express bus that made one or two possibly stops between Kapolei and Alemoana, an express bus on lanes designated only for the bus, going at whatever speed they want, would that be a solution? Thank you very much, Mr. Cox.
And I have to apologize to the caller. I am a community member. My background is in economic development, and I do think express buses would help. But I don't know your area as well. I live on Windward, and the North Shore is where I've lived and worked for the last decade. So I do agree, though, in principle, that more express buses would be a big help. It would get the cars off the road. If we have another oil crisis and we have a carbon footprint, I think we should still be concerned with that. Even though the oil price is currently
yeah.
off, I think we need the plan. So I'd love to hear other people in the environmental movement look at this, because I think we need the plan now, not if we have another oil shock or what have you.
Let's take a look, step back and take a look at this thing. Look down on it for a moment. And 365 days in a year. So... let's take, what if we had the perfect traffic condition, start with that, have the perfect bus service, and you inject or introduce bridges, I'll use say plural, that are unsafe, that has to be repaired, and that now you block it off. You contraflow, or you block it off to certain traffic. And let's take that. And let's say you take a guy who was your mayor at one time, and then he loses his ass and finds another job, because that's always they give their buddies jobs in the form of Mufi Hanneman, who's of the tourist association, whatever you call it, tourism authority. But before leaving, before we get frustrated, he introduces this thing called the train. And then, so now you think that might be distracting some of the and impacting the people in Kalu, the bus service? I don't know yet. But let's say then you have senators and city councilmen who say to you and me that we got money for you and the mayor won't sign it, but we're over here supporting the mayor on the rail. So let's say, do you think that element is, or that factor is going to influence and reduce the quality of bus service? And then let's say that you take a mayor, reigning mayor, then divert monies from that bus, that perfect bus system, then what happens? You think that bus system is going to, and then if you'd like to introduce the Japanese tourists or the Australian tourists or whomever, and are you really speaking to the real problem, or should we stay right here in America and become Americans and say, if you don't serve us right, if you don't put our interest in, we're not going to have you around. You're done. Out of here. We'll vote somebody else in. I think that is probably half of the problem. Then you have head-on collisions, right? Remember that?
Yes. I was in a terrible one, and that's one of the reasons I had written the
And how often I saw that, I'm not mistaken, just in the last 2-3 weeks, there's been 3 closures of one portion. All you need is one portion, because you can't turn around and go back the other way. You understand? So I think part of the problem is the people that show up at the bus station, and they should have bus service, and we should encourage buses and have an efficient service. But just telling us that it's not coming on time and you can't get there in time, you need to then start acting as a citizen and hold them accountable, and you can.
Well, I think exactly right, sir. One of the problems is when the bus was being cut a couple years ago, was cut from an hour, and then it was brought back. Some of the service was brought back to 45 minutes. But for testifying for Kailua, there are maybe 30 people out.
Mm-hmm.
And their bus comes about every 20 minutes now. But for all of the North Shore from North of Kaneohe, only 3 of us came to testify, myself and 2 even older women, and 1 got tired and went home.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the problems, yes, you're right, that our this side is a little laid back. It's the beautiful side, the relaxing. But people need to get out. They need to vote. They need to come to their neighborhood board. And I understand it is difficult coming to the neighborhood board if you're on the bus.
I think what they need to do, is have whole Revere, Donovan De La Cruz on that side, and on the other side, the lady that praises the mayor and the mayor praises her. I guess her name is, Miss. I can't. The city councilman Kimberly Pine, whatever, and they're all sitting there, knowing that this thing is broken, and they're smiling and making promises, and then tell us that, well, he's doing this and he's doing that, but none of them are working in concert with one another to benefit the people, and it's fixable.
Well, I think and the funny thing to me too is they've just terminated the economic development committee at the city council earlier this summer. I was just surprised, because if we are having this problem. We need to grow our economy. We just don't need to fight over rail money. We also have to grow it. And we know that the bus would stimulate both local businesses. It would give tourists a better experience. People would be able to get to their job. And so this would be an economic stimulus. Now, there is no economic and business committee now at the city council. They terminated it this summer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a problem also. It's good, they have the Department of Permitting and Planning, known as the Department of Planning and Planning, but we need a way to look at growing our jobs, and transportation is key. Good
transportation. In our rural area, if the 55 doesn't come, you can't walk four blocks and catch another bus. And we also have a 65 from Honolulu that was rerouted a couple of years, and I believe the ridership has dropped significantly. That still hasn't been looked at. We've been asking and asking. And then again, the connection up to Windward Community College, that bus, there's no direct bus all day from Kaneohe to Kailua, so people give up and drive. That's more and more traffic. There's no bus over the H3, and the bus does not go over the H3. People, if it did, we could work in Pearl Harbor easier. We cut the traffic coming off, and students who go to Leeward Community College. Right now, our students from this side, very difficult to go to Leeward. You have to have a car to work at Pearl Harbor. We would like to build in this modern transportation system before it's gridlock over on this side and goes into gridlock, and it's causing more traffic on the town side because, you know, we cause more traffic coming over here. Definitely. I know many people who used to take the bus work in Ala Moana and that and town, and since it was cut, it used to be every half hour. But 4 years ago, now they all drive.
So, but make it clear now. I remember when we first arrived in Hawaii, there was a bus at Circle Island.
Yes.
It went around, and it was the best thing since sliced bread for tourism.
And I agree.
So someone then felt, hey, it's convenient for the tourists. We obviously can keep many of the cars off the road. But then you have this other problem, Casey, that I look at. So if you have the tourist authority inviting people in, there are several motivations there, several factors influencing it. You also want to, in doing so, you want to please and appease the rental car service, right? You want to enhance that. So on one hand, it's like the right hand works against the left hand.
Yeah,
and see, we're not looking at poor traffic management. And poor government. We're just looking at dumb processes and dumb thinking, right? Just dumb, because you enhance this over here that's going to overwhelm what's on the right, and then the people in the middle suffer.
I believe so. I believe when I do talk to tourists, they would tell me, like, they're in all the illegal rentals up this high, but they said years ago, we didn't have, when we came here years ago and we rented for the summer, we relied on the bus. Now we have to have a car.
Mm-hmm.
We're renting in the big apartment buildings on the beach in Honolulu. They said, now we have to have a car, whereas 4 or 5 years ago when the bus was every half hour, we didn't. So that, yes, it is benefiting. A few benefit to make money, and everyone else is stuck in traffic and it's a problem.
And so a reason I mention that is that suggesting that listeners out there, when even the unions said, well, it's going to create jobs. Well, you're going to have a little ka-ching in your pocket, you know, and you're going to be able to send your kids and play a little soccer and buy all those cute little clothes on the evening. But there's also going to be the other side of that coin where people are going to be impacted.
But I think part of it is, well, maybe you can buy your kids a soccer coach, but you're stuck in traffic, so you're not going to be able to see the plate. So I'm playing soccer because of this.
Yeah.
We have to look at the overall balance, and I believe that keeping Hawaii a world-class tourist destination would require a good bus system, and we don't just bring in the low-income tourists that don't mind getting stuck in traffic or don't know anybody, but the tourists, if we're a first-class destination, people will know it. If we're going to be a bulk destination with just more and more low-cost things, everyone's, and traffic, everyone's salary will eventually go down. Perhaps quickly, but, you know, that long-term, that building for the future, there's high quality for both our tourists and our local community, where the bus system works, where there's less traffic. But we have to start planning now. I mean, we need Blue Planet Foundation in here looking at it. They've testified for better bus service before. We've had AARP send testimonies in support for our 55 bus. how important it is to keep our elderly with that traditional wisdom in their rural areas too. And that's really very important for us.
Yeah, so, you're listening to the Carol Cox Show. My guest is Casey Connors, Mrs. Casey Connors, and we're talking bus service and bus failures and bus whatever. But, you know, Casey, I've always thought that when the buses go out to the Polynesian Culture Center, those buses, many of them deliver their group, and then they park them right there in the big lot, right? Why wouldn't the government, our leaders, see those there and contract with those buses, maybe one or three of them, while they're laying idle, to shuttle in between the main points, getting through, and then at least 2-3 hours, do a contract with them. They don't need to go buy new buses. Or something, start being creative in the thinking. But, you know, that's the problem. I think everyone has been unfair in treating everyone. I mean, even from city councilmen to the mayor to everybody. They know this game. They're part of this game. And the basic things, our needs, go unaddressed and ignored, while they entertain the big boys. And what are we really getting at the end of the day? You manage the people to fail in their lives, create hardships for them, the citizens, while you're enhancing and entertaining, you know, this massive movement of people to come here and look at the blowhole.
And you're absolutely right. Our citizens, everyday people, do need to get involved and think what they think is best. And yes, it's, as you see, it's a squeaky wheel that gets the oil. And there is a lot of aloha here, but we need to organize the local folks.
Carla, go ahead with your comment or question.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay. I hope you can keep looking at this thing from above, from a bigger view. Rail is just not the right thing for Hawaii. It's wasting immense amounts of money. 80% of the cost is coming from the people instead of 20%, which most road projects do, and 80% from the feds. But this is all reversed around. This is a bad, bad project. And I think what would be a very appropriate way to spend our time and money and effort would be to research the people, the main people behind the rail, with the elections coming up, and advertise that in the sections that they're being elected in, and try to they're not going to do anything unless, you know, there's some pressure put on the elections for them, and let the truth be known about what they're doing to us. This is just a bad, bad project, and the money needs to be spent on traffic situations, for making the traffic better, not wasting it on a railroad that replaces express buses.
Right.
But anyway, researching the state people that let the excise tax thing go through, researching the city council people that are voting for rail, and letting that be known, put the pressure on the election, and getting them out of there if possible.
Well, I saw a little light at the end of the tunnel when DeJew said he was running with it, and he wants the rail.
Yeah, I kind of wonder if they put. You kind of wonder if they've been putting pressure on him for something. You know, he was seemed to be.
Yeah, he's a waffle. You know, he's not a hot dog. You know, he's a waffle. He should have stepped up. He know why we want to vote. The people, Democrats, want to vote. We're sick and tired. We're in a quagmire, and he put his name in the hat. Remember, he was also thinking about debating if he'd run for Colleen's. So he see the opportunity. The environment is ripe. We're begging just for a rope to be thrown to us. We don't give a damn who throw the rope to us, in a sense.
Right. Well,
I hope
DeJew might be somebody at least that would consider throwing us a rope instead of a hangman's noose, which these other people are throwing us.
Well, I'm hoping that if he get his act together. And here's my biggest concern. We Democrats are saying, hey, vote him in. We don't give a darn as long as you do us right. Here's the problem. Is he willing to commit that instead of seeing this as an opportunity to advance his party and recognize the value of what we're expressing and saying, we want to get rid of the thugs and the crooks in government, and if you can do that and come in your uniform, military uniform, whatever you like to display, come. But come clean with us, and don't bring your gaggle of Republicans, nimwits, who's going to engage in the same practices. Can you come independent and structure a government, a support team that's going to do what's right for the people? That's my biggest concern. I'd vote for Mickey Mouse if he came.
Exactly. Well, I think the main thing that the Jew could do would be to fight the rail and show that he could do the right thing on the rail.
Yeah.
And the money needs to go into traffic projects to make the traffic better and not this idiot rail.
I think the door's wide open, just begging. The winds are saying, DeJus, this is your place. But I think he's going to cripple himself when he starts talking off the wall and, yeah, mine's bigger than his, and I can make it less than that and take less money to do what he wants to do. Right. Whoa, stop. What he wants to do is detrimental to the communities around. So
anyway, the rail is a big black hole,
yeah.
And it's going to take more and more money. It's going to die sooner or later, except it's going to cripple us by stealing all this money from us.
Well, let me get this one more call. And Casey, if you want to hold on and call back in the next hour, you got more time if you like. Hold on.
No, thank you.
Caller, go ahead. Thank you for calling.
Thank you very much for taking my third call. I talked to Mr. DeJu. I gave him this proposal. The federal government gives us $5 billion more general excise tax in perpetuity. Public-private partnerships, they're offering hundreds of millions of dollars. And then I asked Mr. DeJu, because this is a direct quote out of the newspaper, if you had all of that money, would you still want steel wheel on steel rail on an elevated guideway to Ala Moana?
Okay,
and did not get a direct answer.
Well, you won't, because he saw an opportunity, and that's unfortunate. He should see that this is going to his chance to rise. I think the climate is so perfect that all we're looking for is someone to say, stand up to these crooks and the thugs in government and do what's right, relieve us of these hardships that are coming that some have experienced and most of us will experience sooner or later, and be done with it. Don't be partisan. We see what happens. So we'll be back in the next hour. Casey, you want to say a comment right quick?
Thank you, Carol, for bringing up this, and thank you. And I would say that the callers have brought up so many good things. We would love for them to speak out and do the research. LOTV have to speak out. Thank you.
All right. Well, I'll be on next hour, so call back if you like. Thank you. Aloha.
Bye.
Well, I'm drifting and drifting like a ship out on the sea. And oh, I've been drifting and drifting, baby. And just like a ship out on the sea. And oh, you know I ain't got nobody now, baby, in this great big old world that care for me. If my baby would only take me back again,
stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108.
Keeping cool.
Aloha, this is Carol Cox. Please join me right here.
So I'm scheming. I can't go on like this. Believe that her love is true. Oh, standing on the dance floor. she trying to ice you? Let's start walking over on the dance floor. It's her fault, but what can she do? Tell me, baby.
If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Thank you for joining me. This is the Carol Cox Show, and I'm your host, Carol Cox. Again, 524-1080 is the number if you want to call, and I see these little red lights. They pop up and they go off, and that either suggests to me we got some little aliens in the phone line or some impatient human beings. I don't know which is worse. You can't see either one of them. But the light goes on, guys. So when you call, I know you're there. So give me a little chance to catch a little air and breathe. And then I can't do three things at one: breathe and push the button at the same time. So give the brother a break. But anyway, call back if you like to. 524-1080. Good morning. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Aloha, Carol. This is Casey again.
All right.
Our bus just went through Kahana, which is full of people enjoying the beautiful country. I'm up here and going through Honolulu, and the beaches are gorgeous. The surf is gorgeous. The weather is gorgeous. And the bus system restored and functional is one thing that will allow for future generations, for everyone to come up and enjoy the country from all over the island. So, yeah, we would love people to step up and support a good transportation system for the island.
Yeah.
Here.
I noticed you had students writing you that went to Wynwood College when we were talking last time I meant to. And they mentioned the poor bus service and issues. And students, this isn't make-believe. This is people actually reaching out and seeking. And I was going to ask you, does the city and county of Honolulu have a box where people can write specifically to address the bus issues? I don't mean just sending it to the company and hoping it lands in someone's hands or lap, but we're specifically addressing it, looking and assessing.
The neighborhood boards, again, are one thing, but if you're on the bus in the evening, a bar site doesn't run very frequently, so that's a problem. But there is the bus stop at honolulu.gov is supposed to take complaints and respond. Sometimes it does very well. Other times they said they didn't get it. So that's why we were seeing, you know, Council Chair Martin, Senator Gilruthier, other politicians who were also interested in these traffic issues.
Right.
We'd be seeing them as in this Windward North Shore corridor, as we were also the place to go. We were told is the bus stop at Honolulu.gov. And as you know, Mike Formby, who is the head of their Department of Transportation, has moved over to the rail for the rest of his term, and they'll have an acting chair there now.
And who is the acting chair?
I want to double check his name. But
no problem, but that's an indication how unimportant of a role or this is assigned to this bus stop in the bus use issue. Formby hops up and becomes heart chairperson, right? And then Hanabusa is going to run for queen congresswoman or whatever you call that. I don't know. Yeah, they put us in the mud, dig a hole for us, then they see the light and they jump ship and we're stuck in the mud still. Really a good democratic process.
Well, we're hoping that the countryside Dom Island is so important for people, for leisure and for culture and for the environmental reasons, are the limu and the fish. So we would hope that the whole island would understand why is it important to keep this country and the transportation issues involved, that it has to have a good transportation service. In terms of the funding in relationship to rail, this is just a drop in the bucket to get good transportation up the Windward Coast to the North Shore, compared to the money needed for the rail. And it would be an economic stimulus and to keep this country for future generations.
But in comparison, the rail's damage, when you look, the drop in the bucket you mentioned, when you look at the things in totality, how much money is being lost and how many people are being impacted job-wise, and add all that up, it becomes more than a drop in the bucket. It becomes, you know, I'm just saying, not taking issue with it, but it becomes a big problem. And that I just think that it's time now for the real cowboys and cowgirls that say they can ride the bucking bull and get take care of our problems, start riding the bull and stop giving us the bull. All of the politicians, they're just lip service, and they dig holes for us, and they walk away, and they look for the next opportunity to either get here and there, and we are stuck with the reality of the hardships. And our kids can't go to school or can't depend on the buses. We can't depend on a $10 job. Okay, you increase the, what do you increase? The hourly wages, right, mandatory hourly wages. But it makes no difference if you can't get there.
Yeah. For us, it's terrible. For our students, it's how did I spend my summer vacation waiting for the bus?
Yeah.
And that's so sad from Kaneohe, Kolaloa, Kahalu, North Shore. Our students are waiting for the bus. If they want after-school activities and then be able to get home from that, to wait an hour, that's just too long. They can't both play softball and
Hold that thought for a minute. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comment.
Good morning.
Yes, ma'am.
I am, of course, comment about the bus.
Mm-hmm.
Which, incidentally, it's Roger Morton that you need to call about the bus, because he is directly head of the bus.
Or call the politicians.
Roger Morton, not Formby, but Roger Morton.
But what we're going to tell him that he doesn't already know.
No, I mean, when you comment, you want comments, you want answers. He's the person.
Well,
I'm just saying, instead of Formby, who knows where he is.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
All I was commenting. Now, that's number one. There's the strangest thing happens. The number 23 will take you, marked Sea Life Park.
Mm-hmm.
However, when it gets to Sea Life Park, it's a beach. It goes from Waikiki all the way around the beaches through up to Sea Life Park. If you stay on the bus, it automatically becomes the 57. But if you don't know that, you know, you're out in the middle of nowhere at Sea Life Park, how do I get to Kailua? And then the bus goes on. That is not talked about. It's not written. And if I didn't ride the damn thing, I wouldn't know that.
So you're saying when you get to Sea Life Park, leaving Hawaii Kai, the bus
or
continues?
Or the beach or Waikiki, okay. And you want to go all the way around.
All the way around to the island?
The island,
to
yeah.
Wahiwa and but, those areas?
Right.
Okay.
But there's nobody that tells you that.
Okay.
That it automatically becomes the 57.
Okay.
Is that the dumbest thing you ever heard of? You know, unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one. Number two, we are hosting a talk session about the handy van at the Waikiki Community Center October 5th. And I'm inviting anybody that rides the handy van to come. The Charlotte Townsend is the vice president of the handy van section of the transportation folks. And she is going to come, talk story, answer questions, the whole works, because just like the bus, we've had people complain, seniors complain, I was waiting for an hour past the time the bus was. Anyway, you know the complaints about it. So we have decided to have, and it's free and open to the public at the Waikiki Community Center October 5th, and I'll call you back when we get closer to the date.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it comes out of the same complaints that we have about the bus.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you.
And we will call you back and talk more about it the closer we get to October 5th.
All right. Okay? Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Right. Aloha. Casey?
Yes, thank you. Thank you. We do have other issues. You had read about, we have something called Title VI out of the federal government, which says that low-income and minority communities should have adequate public transportation services. And from Kahulu, north of the hygienic store, all the way up to Kahuku, we are lower-income and minority community. We had asked for this Title VI that was reviewed every, I believe it's 3 years, that they would look at our community and ensure we have good bus service. But the way they had done the statistical analysis, they said since we started at Ala Moana and went through wealthy areas, we were not entitled to Title VI, and that's allocation and assurance of good transportation. But then other bus services like Waianae's Route 40 were Title VI, but they all start inbound in Ala Moana and go through wealthy areas. And up the Waianae Coast, you can have a choice of buses, and you have night buses and things like that, where our side doesn't. So one of the things that we do need is more people who understand statistics and math, and this could be for the rail too, reporters and concerned citizens to look at this and say, hey, wait a minute, this is not right. The way you're doing this statistical analysis is not right, and speaking up. And we did not get this, and then again, only two of us went down to testify for Title VI for our side, so that's another problem with community involvement. But we do need people who are good at statistics and math to look at this, look at the methodology, and, and reporters and journalists to do this. If we had this for the rail at the beginning, this would have helped. So people who care about keeping country, who care about preserving the Hawaiian culture that's out this side, and who care about the environment and good transportation, who care about our carbon footprint and having a sustainable Oahu, they need to look at things like this, because there are money, there are funding, there are regulations, and if people work together, it could have been, it can be done.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But I noticed you mentioned a number of things that bus GPS working on all country buses and
oh, yeah.
Direct bus from North Shore Ko'olauloa to Honolulu and back. What other? And some of the conditions of the bus shelters and you know, some of them, people having to stand in the road.
Oh, yes. There, we have a lack of bus shelters, a light. It's the rainy side here. And sometimes the benches, so as you can see by the pictures, we have elderly standing out for an hour, and if the bus is late longer, that's, it's not possible. And
we're told, well, we can help build our own shelters. Well, the people along the rail aren't going to build their rail stop, but the people in the country are told that. And, again, you know, they have nice bus shelters and benches in Hawaii Kai, and we would look like other people to look at the economic justice issue also.
I don't mean to be sound rude or crass, but, you know, it's not like that community don't have representation in the government.
Mm-hmm.
You see, this is why I always frown at when people, they treat their legislators and their city council like sacred cattle. We can't bitch to them. We'll bitch to the world about what they're not doing. And so they're off limits, and we respect them. And when we see them, we're looking down at our feet. No, look them in the eye and tell them, we voted you in because you are going to represent us, not steer us into failure, not make steer us into hardship. And if you can't cut the mustard, then get out. I think that's what this, you know, right? We need people that can do math and do all that. But I think it's coming down to the basic principles of what do you think you're worth and what do you think what importance do you assign to this in your life? Having a bus if you need a bus, you know, and stop looking at your feet when you see your legislators. Look them in the eye and tell them there's a door. If you can't enhance our life, all of these cockamamie ideas and strategies and you not addressing the traffic and bus service, and then you're voting to enhance the what's that new development out there coming up in by the Polynesian Culture Center? We've talked about it.
The Envision Light.
Yeah, all of it. Still going to put it back on 1 2-lane highway. Yeah. You understand. Yeah. So, guys, I'd like to cry with you, but I'm empty of tears. It's like, you know, when you got all these other options, vote them out and start voting smart. They may be your friends. You may know their uncles and aunts, but so what? They're still screwing you and painting you in a corner. And it's enough. I think we all as voters got to wake up. We own them, the positions that they hold. We don't own them per se. But you can get a lot better treatment and a lot better response rather than I got the money, but the mayor didn't authorize it. Then you should be starting a barn fire at the city hall as the chairman of the city council, saying, Mr. Mayor, you're failing, and let the public know and let his constituents know. But we operate in this fashion of, well, I did my part. You follow?
Yeah. I understand that sometimes there's political rivalries that actually hurt the community. And the community needs to be aware and step up, and people with Ohana inside, we need to vote and get together.
It's time. It's for their own interest. I'm not asking or suggesting they do this for my benefit. It's like if it's so bothersome to me and I'm just an outsider per se, then you should really be frustrated. Hold on.
Yes. People trying to come and visit the North Shore or forget it, and they won't come on the weekend.
Yeah, caller. Thank you, caller. Go ahead with your comments.
Thank you for taking my call for the fourth time, but in due respect to one caller who said that money for the train is a drop in the bucket, it is obviously everybody who is called is affected by the no bus handyman. Punch Bowl, you're at Punch Bowl in King Street catching a bus. There's two or three buses in front of you. Your legs are tied or you're blind. How do you get back to the third? Dialysis patients who are an hour late because the handyman or the bus is not effective in taking you there. You stand at this in wildlife for 1 hour, 2 hours because the handyman doesn't come and or the bus. Any statistical analysis is not yours. It's Caldwell's, Formby, Morton, and the name you probably want is Garrity. And if we elected Dizu, all of us, he's in, he's now mayor, we must put pressure on Dizu to accommodate everything that she is saying
and everything that has been expressed, if the issue is in, we must put pressure on him to act on behalf of the people. Thank you very much, Mr. Cox.
All righty, thank you. Casey?
I do agree that people need to be active. They also need to inform their politicians, and yes, sometimes it's pressure, and sometimes it's just notifying them of what's going on. That the rail does not take up everyone's time, that there are other issues that are very important to get right now so we don't end up in traffic gridlock on the North Shore, on Windward, and in other areas.
Yeah, speaking of DeJou, is he the soup of the day, Casey?
Pardon me?
Is DeJou the soup of the day? Is he what we need?
I don't know.
Your opinion, your insight. I mean, just or would we be just jumping out of one hole into the next?
I haven't. This coming week, I am going to get an opportunity to go and listen to him in person.
Mm-hmm.
So I will be very. I'm going and listening to everyone in person and looking at their records. So I look forward to that and to have the opportunity to ask questions and see where he stands.
And
I don't want to give you hearsay, but I want to hear it from his mouth, and that, you know, that I will be able to go and had been invited, and then I'll be very happy to comment on it. But I do think we need a lot of changes in Hawaii.
Okay, so is there a third party? I haven't kept up on it. If anyone knows out there, is there a third person involved, a libertarian, or is it just process is we go to the polls too many times as far as I'm concerned. One time should be enough to say everything. But if independents or anybody out there, is there another way if we can introduce another name in the box or something? But I apologize for my ignorance of that. It's just that I don't know that one. So if you have any insight, listeners, give me a call. But anything else, Casey?
No, thank you. Thank you for caring about the transportation system, our students, our elderly, our working people, our small businesses, and even our large businesses here, that we have adequate transportation, that we have a future that will keep the country, that both our tourists and our local community can come out and enjoy the country when they want to.
Yeah, I thank you. So,
thank you.
All righty. Aloha. Anyway, I don't think our leaders understand what is called carrying capacity. And if you don't understand that, there are some real scientific explanations and blah, 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 blah. But let's just be very simple. And my description is when you go to the grocery store and they give you a paper bag and you buy a shopping cart full of groceries, and they give you one bag, and you're tasked with putting all that groceries, that shopping cart filled with groceries, in that bag. The bottom falls out eventually because some of the products you purchase are moist, and condensation occurs and weakens the bag. And that's what we're seeing here with all these things poured on one road, with all these factors, and once you include them and consider them, you're going to have traffic jams. But then what makes it worse or exacerbates it here is that you have politicians who are just flat out crooked, have no intentions of doing what's right for the people. They're either involved and engaged to do what's right for their former employees, or some of our legislators are lawyers, and they are law firm actually write some of the legislation. They hire them out. The state hires them out in a fashion. And so the whole setup here in Hawaii, it's not just corrupt. It's more of a, if I give a better description of it, it's a patient that's sick, ailing from everything that you can imagine. You know, if it's the corruption, just greed, racism, You know, just the whole thing is, and I don't know how it could be fixed, and the trickery, and then you have the Democratic Party, and many of the people that are unskilled wouldn't know how to deal with their family issues, and they're up front working in the process called the Democrat Party or the Republican Party, run from their family problems and issues and can't resolve those, but have the ability to get within and show a little strength and have a little influence, and they get full of themselves and forget where they are and what they're supposed to be doing and what this process really is about, so in theory, because that's all it is now, theory. In this town, the reality is if you can demonstrate that you're corrupt and willing to hide and cover up, you are likely to become high-level official, and with all the accoutrements that comes with it. But just while saying that, we have a situation here, and I don't have all of the details, but the city and county of Honolulu's environmental services, they have an active investigation where the reportedly now, and I'm going to ask questions, and I know what I'm going to get from Lori Kahakina and the mayor. It's still under investigation, or we can't comment. Our policies are, but the information we're getting is that some of the refuse workers that work on the trucks and picking up, one of them reported made $160,000 in 1 year, and that the manager, or superintendent, as they call them, for that area, is being investigated for fraud and creating false routes and crediting men for doing overtime that weren't actually performed. So, again, I don't have any specific details, but this is what we're hearing. And once again, when you're so busy working at the bank for $300,000 as a mayor, and then you're trying to bamboozle the people for the rail, and you know it's like you become a hired magician rather than a mayor. Thank you, Carla. Go ahead with your comments or question.
Yeah, he mentioned about the trickery in politics.
Turn down your radio there in the background.
Oh.
And just step away from it a bit, and you'll be all right. All right.
Yeah, he's talking about trickery in politics. You've heard of Houdini?
I've heard of whodunit.
You know, Charles DeJoux is a master of trickery.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see his recent television ad being sponsored by a retired soldier or National Guard guy? It shows Charles DeJoux in full combat gear. This is a political ad on television. In full combat gear and with guns and his dark glasses staring down, and he's in like he's on foot patrol.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it's staged, and he's staring down the enemy and showing that he's in the thick of combat or on foot patrol. But in truth, is he was a major in the Adjutant General's office. He was a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
So lawyers spend their time on duty in the office. They don't go on foot patrol with the troops, especially a major.
Mm-hmm.
So this is definitely a staged, phony picture showing him in a combat situation.
Mm-hmm.
And, it used to military uniform is against all rules of DOD directives, such as DOD 1334.1. You cannot use a uniform for military people for political purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And he did this same years ago when he was running for Congress against
Hanabusa.
Mm-hmm.
He showed another ad, showed him full combat gear in a town in Afghanistan, talking to some little kid as if he's on foot patrol. Now, that was definitely staged. and I don't know. People don't get it. I'm retired military, so I know what's going on as far as, you know, if you're the cook, you're servicing your country, but you're working in the kitchen. You're not on combat patrol. And if you're a legal officer like DeJou, you're serving your country, but you're serving it in the office. You don't go out on foot patrol. And the funny thing about that situation, that do you know that he went on 6 months tour just before the election cycle? Now, most tours to overseas is 1 year. Somehow he arranged it because there were comments of him being in the reserves and displaying that fact but not being overseas. So he figured out some way to get to Afghanistan for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Just and ended just before the election time. So
yeah, well, this is
now he can claim he's a combat veteran.
This is why I so easily say or describe this town as a corrupt place, and that people abandon the concerns for separation of powers. You know, not we talk about separation church and state. But separation of powers and having a military involved in a democratic voting process, or having them near a voting machine in a uniform, what does that suggest? Or what, you know, we've seen these kinds of things.
It suggests trickery and try to
And it's his unwillingness to respect those principles. Forget the rules and what have you. If you know your history and you know what we stand for, the last thing you want is government, military, involved in your government. Yes, you served, and by the way, I served too. But I felt as if someone had given me Lee Hing Mui's crack seat when I saw this union guy talking about, and I'm so hurt. Kirk, you're just out of place, or some paraphrasing. You're wrong for talking bad about a fellow soldier. Wow.
Yeah, well, this kind of trickery that's perpetuated by DeJou. You know, I'm a Vietnam veteran.
So yeah.
I know how the military works, and so I can distinguish between an officer who has an office job and a guy on foot patrol, full gum. And you look at this ad, he's got his dark glasses on, and he's giving an evil stare like he's staring down ISIS or somebody.
Yeah.
It's so laughable, I couldn't believe it.
Well, he wears those dark glasses, they're mirrored, so he can see which Republicans are standing behind him going, yeah, you point me to this and point me to that. That's the danger. And in this town, it's interchangeable now, as I might talk about in a minute. But you're right. I saw that union statement, and I thought, wow, this is when things really go bad. When people, they depend on you, and you're going to promise them money, and Kirk promised the union so many things, right? And now all of a sudden he's not delivering, so they just hop over and hop with the snake or the alligator or the frog or a well-deserved military man, you know, and then turn around.
About, you know, the sneaky thing about DeJou being a lawyer, his first television ad when he's running against had no comment on this particular ad, has the disclaimer on it prominently. You know, disclaimers normally in small print, but this was fairly large. You've seen the ad.
Oh, yeah.
This not endorsed by the U.S. military and so on, whatever type of...
Well, why you?
...ad in his first ad. So he knew he was doing something wrong.
Right. So. Well, I how do we get in these bogs anyway? We're just not using
their hands. The vote of the basic voter in this town is totally uninformed and naive as to the propaganda that comes out of these.
And I think the union guy owes, I think it's Avial, I think he owes his membership an apology, because it's one thing,
absolutely,
you know.
Absolutely, because the Jew is disgracing the uniform of the military.
Yeah, but some military people think that they're the chosen one, and they forget that You don't see me running around bragging that, and wetting my thoughts because I was former military and this and that. No, it's you know, that was my service to the country.
Well, similar with myself, you know. I was a Vietnam veteran combat in Da Nang, Navy-wise. But I don't wear my jingle hat and all my badges on my hat and my camouflage.
Not even when you're golfing, huh, approaching hole number six.
Yeah.
And that's when you need it, you know. That's when you need it. You want to intimidate the other guy that's playing with you.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't object to these veterans who wear all these ribbons and stuff.
Yeah, they earn them. They deserve them, you know.
They earned it, definitely. But in my case, I figure, you know, I did my job, and I'm not going to parade about it.
Yeah, what, you know, it's DeJoux reminds me, he couldn't be a good cop, a good policeman. You know how many policemen do good jobs every day, and they don't ever get it. They don't show up in commercials or anything. They just do their job and leave, right?
Okay.
Caller, thank you for calling, and I cut off someone else, but go ahead with your comments or questions.
I've called so many times, cut me off too. Okay.
Go ahead. This is a free speech country.
Well, very, very quick. The rail framed the argument for all of us, and we are accepting it, and we shouldn't. And it's simply this. You have a choice. Choices. You have Caldwell. You have Dijoux. You have somebody who might be on the ballot, or you don't vote. Now, I have my own opinion, but that's your reality. Mm-hmm. Caldwell, Dijoux, whoever else is on the ballot, or don't vote. Thank you so much for taking so many calls from this crippled old man.
All right. You said that. Now, I don't want anybody else calling me. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comment or question.
I think, is Carol talking right now? Is she talking right now?
Is Carol talking right now?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Carol. I think I'm like a few seconds behind.
You're listening to me on the internet.
Okay, great. Okay,
see, we're everywhere. KWI is everywhere. Look under the carpet. You'll find us there, too.
Okay, so you're on air right now, right?
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Okay, I just wanted to make a few comments. And you know, with all due respect, I think that you know, whatever position that someone is in the military is important because it's a support group, you know, whether you're cooking or you're a medic,
mm-hmm.
or you're a paralegal or whatever. I think it's important because it's an organization that needs everybody.
Right. We're not trying to evaluate and assess the importance or what degree of importance. We're discussing the mixture of powers, separation of powers, and the implication and the inference that the United States government support this. See, some of us are not that well informed to realize that, oh, there's a general standing there, so the United States government must support that.
Yeah.
Well, no, there's no. That's why the Constitution and all the pre-written laws about this country that keep us structured from being overthrown and all of that is to avoid those influences.
Yeah,
and separation of church, earlier, separation of state.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think the gentleman earlier had said about a photo, but I do want to note that the photos that is being used, there's always a disclaimer that, you know, that it does not imply endorsement from the, you know.
How do you know that? How do you know?
Well,
how
it's right there. It's always right there, and I take notes of those things.
Yeah,
it's
the small print. Let me ask you this.
Let me ask you this. But you know, I mean, I don't want to quarrel with.
Well, you're not quarreling. You raise an issue, and there's no such thing as quarreling if you raise the issue. Well, no, it don't work that way here. It does not work that way.
Yeah.
There is no such thing as a more interesting. They're all equally important.
Because, you know, have have you seen the ad that Kurt Caldwell had put about, 9/11? Today's 9/11, and he's advertising how he's got the first responders back.
Well, do you think? I understand. Do you think that he was wrong and acted improperly?
Well,
no. Yes or no? Did he? I mean, did he act improperly?
Definitely, his public relations consultant, maybe from the mainland, does not check his own.
But you're not. I'm asking a question. Did he act improperly by doing that?
Oh, definitely.
Okay. Well, then just state that. I mean, don't wiggle your way around the corner and sneak up on the issue when someone's talking about. Just offer that as a rebuttal. I mean, that would be fine.
You're definitely a better speaker than I am.
No, you speak better.
I just wanted to add that it's almost hilarious because he talked about getting the first responders on. I mean, the first responders have got his back.
Okay.
But if you look at how he treats the firemen and the EMS people. I mean, this mayor has not been kind to the first responders in Honolulu.
Okay, well, as a courtesy, everybody can have as much time as they want to say, but I got to tell you, with me, I'm not Rush Limbaugh, I'm not any of those guys, I'll just tell you up front. Here's the situation. If you felt that you needed to defend the issue in the discussion about de jure, then just speak to that specific point.
Wait. It's not the candidate.
You're suffering from a Republican fever.
Oh, no.
Yes, you are. You've been around them too long then. You got to learn to allow someone to talk.
I just wanted to raise the issue of, as you have, that media can be a very deceptive thing.
Well, they can be, but I'm not.
I just find it very interesting that he would say that he's got the first responders.
Do you listen to this show much?
Oh,
okay. I can assure you, if you would, you would never raise that question. I've just laid out. Kurt Caldwell is not my favorite person, not because he's a bad guy. He's just not good for the public, not good for the citizens, and we say that all the time. And so,
it's almost hilarious.
No, but see, that's you can take that down the road and say that somewhere else. We're equal bitches about everybody. We bitch about everybody, Democrats, Republicans, or independent, whoever is giving us the falsehood, we complain. Right?
Well, good for you.
All righty. Let me get the other, and if you want to hold on, I'll give you another, let me get another caller right quick. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Yes, Carol, concerned about the handy van, a caller called about my meeting with Charlotte Townsend. I had a meeting with her and DTS discussing about the city auditor's report that came out in March of this year of the handy van, and I found out they hired a consulting company, Nelson Nygaard. This is the same company that did the bus changes in 2012, which was a debacle right there,
mm-hmm.
to save $8 million. They have a consulting guy named David Coffin, who's an expert in paratransit, handy van, ADA and everything else, FTA laws and whatnot. I hope that this man will do a good job compared to what they did to the bus system in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And the person who's going to do the final report after this consulting is over is Phil McGuire, who is the person for Innovative Paradigms in Sacramento, who also company also runs a paratransit handy van eligibility center at that big building over there on the 8th floor.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, there's so much collusion in there when you have somebody that has a contract with the city, plus they got their hands into this report that they're going to do. So it's very disturbing when I hear a collusion like this.
Yeah, you're right.
And then concerning about the telephone system at the handy van, they just awarded the contract in June for Trapeze, which is the same company doing their scheduling system for handy van. How ironic is that? It's going on right
mm-hmm.
there. And, we had three main people running for the mayorship. Kurt Caldwell, Peter Carlisle, and Charles DeJoux. I call them the Three Stooges. Mm. You know who's Mo right now? It's Cutwell. And did you, I presume he's Curly. So Larry's out of the picture, but that's what I feel that this mayor is. There's two same guys. They try to go for the same goals and positions that they want, but it's terrible, Carol. This is all we got to choose from. I'd like to end it with this song right now. Sorry. Sorry about that.
No problem.
Oops, sorry about that.
Take your time. Okay.
Thanks a lot for all you do.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
All right. Caller, thank you for calling, for waiting. Go ahead with your comments.
Hi, Carol.
Yes.
Because this is a nonpartisan race, we only have two candidates. In a nonpartisan race, the top two finishers in the primary move to the general. So it's either or.
So no independents, no nothing, no Green Party, no nothing.
No, the top two, no, this is a nonpartisan.
Nonpartisan,
race,
okay, so.
So you're not listed by party.
That's right,
in the primary.
Okay. The two that
two top,
got the highest votes and 50% or less. Or, yeah.
Nobody got 50% plus one.
One, right.
So they, the two top move on. And the numbers were so close. If it hadn't been for our dear friend Lillian Hong, who came in with huge numbers, one of those two idiots would have been 51%. But Lillian did so well.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
So that's what we have. I like it or not, that's Tweedledee and Tweedledum. Yeah.
So you sent me an email real quick at Hula. Real quick, what is going on?
Oh, that memorial for the young lady Snyder who was killed at the top of the Trade Center on 9/11.
Okay.
And it will be about, she dedicated a tree. And so the ceremony will be in the park, Kapi'olani Park, right across from Hula's. That's Hula's is the landmark.
Today.
But it's in the park today at 5 o'clock.
Okay. All righty. Well, thank you. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. Aloha. Well, Chun, you're welcome to call back, but I just wished I could have a conversation with a Republican where they don't just tell you everything they want to say, and then when you try to talk, it's like it doesn't matter. And this oblique fashion of communication where you talk about one thing, but you really mean something else, and by the time we, the dummies, figure out what it is you're really trying to get to, we're at a loss for words because we don't know what the hell you're talking about. We don't know your intention. So maybe we'll go back and learn the art of communication. Speak what's on your mind and not what's on your tongue and what's on your agenda. And that way, I think that'd be a lot better in conversing, especially when you're trying to say something and over here you're really not saying it, but you intend to say it and hoping that we get it. It's like, no. Kirk Caldwell, to me, is as detrimental to the well-being of this city and county of Honolulu than anything I've witnessed, period. Charles, as you, we don't know, but I'm offended by anyone that just go around looking for opening or you like you leave a window open to a midnight thief. It's just an opportunistic politician. It's that kind of. So is he really going to help our problems, us resolve our problems, or is he going to see this as an opportunity to enhance his standings? And what is he going to do, you see? But when he echoes the same things that Caldwell want to do, then you can't discern the two or can't tell the difference. So why bother? Caller, go ahead real quick.
Hello?
Yes, real quick.
Both of them guys are weasels. You know what I mean? Deju You can't believe him because he jumps around. And Caldwell has all fake figures, you know, that tricked everybody. So
yeah.
I wouldn't vote for either one of them. They're both. And that lady, that Republican lady, she ought to look at you know, the people that are running for office. Just look at their record.
Yeah.
Don't go on their personality. Look at their record, man.
Yeah. Well, okay. We're down to the last couple of seconds, but thank you. Aloha. One thing I wanted to mention, you know, the Nu'uanu landslide, that community is still trying to fend off the landslide, the land slippage, and the city and county of Honolulu under Kirk Mayor Caldwell basically have given this community the shaft. And I mention that because it could happen to any of us. And the land is still moving up there, and nothing has happened. The city refuses to accept or acknowledge or even take any action because they want to create turmoil within the community by suggesting that if one person does something, then he exacerbate or she exacerbates the conditions for others that are threatened with their homes being damaged from this mudslide. I suspect that it was, in fact, the city's sewer line, and even now that the sewer is being dumped into the new line, but the backflow is still dripping, and there's some real concerns, and we've asked for records, and we'll get back to you on that, but it's a sad occasion to see people living on pins and needles, and at any time their house could collapse, and all that it is said is that the city and county is saying, it's not our problem. And so hopefully things get better, and I don't know. I wouldn't wish it on anyone. And we'll be back next week, and then we're going to take a break, and I'll have Jan Weinberg sitting in for me for 2 weekends. So anyway, we'll be back. See you tomorrow. Or we'll see you Sunday.
This has been the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.